So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, would you just guide and direct this time? We're thankful for this season of the year that we can just see all around us the impact of your coming. And Lord, would it be personalized for us now in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking at the theme of your life really can be beautiful, and it is all by the grace of God. But the grace of God is accessed not just automatically, it is accessed through your steps of faith. And so the theme is all about choices that we make. And so we began last week talking about the importance of choices and how that we are either making choices that are going to bring the Spirit of God's blessing and genuine life, or we're going to make choices that have yielded to fleshly desires and therefore will bring a corrupt harvest. And so these are, we talked about the fact that they always result in consequences. The different choices have more impact than others. And a lot of times, choices happen by default. And there's where I want to pick up a little bit here. Did you know that making no choice on an issue is a choice? When a person hears the gospel and they're not saved and choose not or just ignore it, they made a choice, right? They made a choice to say no at that point to the truth of the gospel. Now, let me make a statement that might surprise you. You make more choices by default than you do by conscious will. Think of how many promptings that we have in our lives. Think of the constant ways that God has things in front of us to make us think. There's just a lot of things. Every time we face a child of ours, or you're with your husband, or I'm with my wife, there are choices that would be fully biblical that would accomplish God's will. And we are so routine and so much just doing what we normally do that we make a choice to ignore that prompting, ignore that signal there, ignore that encouragement to do what is right. That's why spending time alone with God in the morning makes you discerning of the voice of God. Have you ever been through a day and you think, you know, I was pretty numb all day. I just sort of went through the day. And you feel a little empty that you didn't really walk with God. Well, what's sad about that day, it's sad you didn't really have a time with the Lord. It's sad that you weren't really aware of Him. But what's really sad is every choice you made was probably, even though it might be good character choices, many of the choices were not what God wanted. You know, we get sad that, wow, you know, I need to be more involved in people's lives. I need to reach people. I need to invest more in my children. I need to do more for my husband. Whatever it is. Well, this is what happens. We're not aware spiritually enough to let the Holy Spirit guide us. One of the things that I think of every morning when I'm praying is I thank God for His guidance. He is a God that gets personally involved in our lives, and He is ready to guide. So, do keep in mind the fact that we make choices not just overtly, but by being passive about good choices that we ought to make. A person that accomplishes something is a person who knows what they ought to do, and they do it by the power of God, and that's when God's grace begins to flood into the heart, and that takes us out of our normal little limitations and brings us into the realm of doing divine things that are obviously beyond what we can do. And I tell you, ladies, there is no such thing as an ordinary life. Every life ought to have divine meaning and eternal consequences. But if we're passive and not listening to the Lord and just a person only of routine, we're going to miss out on really a lot of what could happen. Wouldn't you say that pretty much marks American Christianity? Just doing the American thing instead of doing the supernatural thing. So I could really preach about that, but I'll move on here. That is a big deal. Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, there's so much that happens by default, and it's sad. Should have, could have, didn't. And so we have to be so careful about that. Choices only have two outcomes, right or wrong. And so it's important that we understand that there are, as I already talked about, great consequences. Now, another one I want to camp on here for a moment is that choices are often made due to the influences of others. Now, let's talk about faith for a moment again. Faith is based upon the objective truth of God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word, the specific truths, that's Rhema of God, of the Word of God. And so we choose to believe what the Bible specifically says is true. And not only do we choose to believe it, we choose to trust it, depend upon it, and show it by action. And so we take a step of faith, and God then empowers us. The thing we need to realize is that faith contradicts human thinking, fleshly thinking, and most of the time contradicts the thinking of the natural world around us. You will find that when you determine to have a biblical life, you will go contrary to even what a majority of Christians think and do if they're living according to natural thinking, carnal thinking. And so that's very difficult at times because we don't like to be out of sync with the majority, right? We would like to feel that we are not influenced by others, but we are, okay? And one of the hardest things in serving the Lord is to do that which is right for us, even if it isn't what the norm is all around us. I remember, 70s and 80s, as television became stronger and stronger and more corrupt and decadent and, all the stuff that was there, some Christians made the choice that I'm just not going to let that in my home and in my mind or in my children. That was a pretty radical step for a nation where they not only had one television per household, but at least two or three, and the common thing was to have a TV in every kid's room with cable back then, or satellite. Well, I'm not here to tell you about all the dangers. I can tell you that I've had to live with all the consequences of that generation growing up, and it's not pretty. It's really tragic. But some people made the choice. The choice, no, we're going to think on these things, the good things. I will set no evil before our eyes. Mothers have a lot of power when it comes to what is done in a home. What's laying around, about the television, and those kind of things. Now, I realize today the computer is the television for many, but I was just giving that as an example. And now you've got all of those choices. And so... just in this one area, the pressure to do things and not to be different is there. But as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't know what you're going to do, but the one thing I do know is I'm going to make the choice that is right. And I tell you, ladies, especially those of you that have children in your home, do not ever let peer pressure cause you to do something that goes against your conscience or better sense as a mother. And you will seem odd, and I'm telling you, and sometimes some really not so good things can be said about somebody that's trying to do right. But choices are easily influenced. Yes, ma'am.
I was going to say, mothers decide a lot of things. My mothers decide what their kids wear. You know, a lot of things, the kids that are not in Christian school are wearing just horrendous outfits. Mm-hmm. And that is the mother. That's the last checker before they go out the door.
You're exactly right. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things in what they eat. I mean, mothers have a lot of power in the house, and they should use it.
Right, and they should. I mean, the virtuous woman obviously had a lot of influence on everything that is done there. And what has God given to a woman? A deep sensitivity, a deep conscience that is often greater than a man initially. And the only problem is that today we have a lot of women that have lived such a bad life before they're a mother, they don't have that discernment. But a woman who is really right with God will have a fine sense of discernment. And so what I'm using the technology, because it's such a pervasive thing, as an example. Are you going to let what other people think cause you to make a decision that you know is not the right decision? Just because everybody around your kid has a smartphone does not mean that you need to let them have a smartphone. Who cares what they think about you? The mind and heart of your child, that's the whole reason you're a mother. And I couldn't, man, I'm telling you, I'd scream out on that one. Be different, and your kids will survive. Just have a good home and they'll survive. The smartphone hooks them up to other people because their family isn't functioning. That's a substitute family. But that's just one example. But there's all kinds of things, choices that you make on priorities. What are you going to do? And you've got to be careful that you're not letting peer pressure. You know, we talk about young people with peer pressure. Oh, listen, adults have it hugely. And you don't want to be out of sync, you know. And so I really encourage you to be very wise in your decisions. Make sure they're right. You know, talk with your husband about them. But make sure that it is a spiritual, godly decision, even if you're in the small minority about the decision that you made. And I remember way back growing up as a kid, my dad said, we don't do those things. We just don't. We have made a decision that that's not going to be part of our family. We're not listening to that. We're not going there. We're just not doing these things because we want to have a right testimony. We don't want to hurt ourselves. And you know, I might have gotten frustrated at the moment, but I appreciated a dad that had leadership. He made a choice. And we did fine. We had a happy home. See, that's the key. Got to have a happy home. So that could, again, this is another point. Boy, these points I could sit on, but can't stay here all day, Joan, so I'll move on here.
So in other words, I shouldn't give my opinion
anymore. No, that's not at all what I... I like your opinion. It's right on, it's 99% right on the money, so... None of our opinions are 100%. All right. Choices made carefully are more likely to put you in the center of God's will. Now that's the positive side. You make the difficult choices through the Spirit's leadership. What's the Spirit of God doing? He's leading you to be close to His heart to accomplish His purpose. There is nothing in life that is more thrilling, satisfying, encouraging than to know you're in the will of God. Now, none of us are perfect. We know that we all fall short, but you know basically you are doing what God wants you to do. That just brings great peace rather than living in torment all the time. Fleshly decisions will cause you to be dried up inside and frustrated and constantly feeling guilty. And a lot of times people will just turn from that and just live a life that's not biblical because they can't stand the pressure. Well, the problem is not living a godly life. It's making wrong choices in and around trying to do right and then not experiencing being in the will of God. So the will of God is a tremendous place to be. And in the verses we often quote from Romans 12, when you give yourself a living sacrifice, then you won't be conformed to this world. You'll be transformed and you'll be able to know what? The good and perfect, acceptable will of God. All right. Now, choices, off the flesh will have the first impulse. As we walk with the Lord, if we're really walking in the Spirit will overcome that. But if we're just going through a normal course of life, the flesh will be making the wrong choice attractive. So we have to be discerning. That's why I said it's important that you spend time with the Lord. Now, need to look at your choices, as the author says, through the rearview mirror. And we do learn from experience. Is there anyone here that has made every right choice there is to make? Looking around, I think we're all sort of in the same boat, aren't we?
The older you get, the less choices you get, right?
Yeah.
Well, you make more choices right, but you have like 100 choices now.
Oh, that's true. You're constantly making choices, and you have to make a choice because you're in a place where you got to do it. But it doesn't hurt. Now, we got to be careful here. The last thing you want to do is to be self-focused and introspective. What I mean by introspective is you get caught in your own self-pity about how bad you are. And I've always told folks, you know, I'm really trying to find myself. And I said, well, let me know quickly when you find yourself because you're not going to be happy. It's really not pretty, I'm telling you. But the real me spiritually is exciting. And I can find that out in a second. And so when we look back, we want to learn from the past. But then as Philippians 3 says, we want to forget those things from an introspective standpoint and reach to those things which are before. But have there been consequences for wrong choices, ladies? Yeah. And you do need to learn to correct. You know what happens is Satan loves to get us to buy this. Well, you blew it, so what's the use? Oh, listen, there's always hope in every area. You know, I'll talk to mothers about what they should do with their babies, but their kids are all high school. And so you can tell, I didn't do that. I made wrong choices, but you can make right choices now. You know, we got a God that's bigger than even our choices if we're humble. See, here's one of the problems. The one reason you got to look back a little bit, look in the rearview mirror, as she says, is that we got to not try to defend ourselves. We don't want to be introspective and get ourselves in a big dark hole and just, oh, woe is me. That's self-centeredness on the reverse. But on the other side, we don't want to defend wrong choices either. And you know, you think about it. You can rationalize. Well, that wasn't something. No, wait a second. That was a fleshly choice. Just nail it. Because you don't want to repeat it. And people will really defend sinful choices even. And so it's a tricky thing. And you need to look back and you wandered off the path. You made some wrong choices. There were wrong consequences. And you agree with God about it. And you are going to be biblical on some things. You can't do anything about it, but you agree with God, such as issues in marriage and so forth. But you are going to go forward now in the will of God and not be overcome by the wrong choices. And by God's grace, you aren't going to wander off that path again. And that's repentance. See, confession of sin is when you agree with God. And you aren't going to rationalize. And you know, one thing, you don't want to have a negative attitude towards your child rearing, ladies. On the other side, learn from the things that you know were not the best, and don't worry about having to deal with it, because then you can pray, Lord, you need to fix this, this, and this, and I need to have wisdom to know how to do this, this, and this, instead of just burying your head and acting like everything was okay. Yes.
I have married daughters, and a lot of times I tell them, I made a mistake in this area, I didn't do what I should have done, and I'm hoping that you will learn from my mistakes and that you will do better in your marriage than I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a way to teach too?
Well, humility in a parent goes a long way with the child, because they know the mistakes that you made.
You know? We're not pretending anything.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, I'm telling you, pride in parents is big. You can't tell older parents anything a lot of times. They do not want to hear it. They're very insecure. That's why isn't it very hard to witness to a parent? Because their pride is apparent. They don't want to admit they were wrong in not giving you the gospel. That's an extreme issue. But this happens in a lot of areas. But when a parent turns around and says, you know, I'm so thankful for what God has done, but, you know, in this area, I definitely wasn't biblical here, made wrong choices. Sometimes you need to ask forgiveness for it, you know, as you go along. And so humility, what does that do? Remember, humility always leads another person to be humble, if it's genuinely from the Lord. And so this is a tricky thing. It's got to be done of the Spirit. You don't get introspective. On the other hand, you don't rationalize and defend yourself. You got to just be willing to be transparent and say, you know, I got off the pathway here. I did not really make the right choices, and I'm not going to do that again by the grace of God. We're going to learn from the past, and I'm not going to be discouraged. Listen, there's not a person alive that hadn't made a slew of wrong choices, right? But we can learn, and we've got the Word of God that's very clear, and we need to then turn. I've known people in their 70s and 80s that turned from what they had done in the past, nailed it what they did wrong, and started walking in the Spirit and just became transformed Christians, even in later life. I feel so sad when elderly folks get fixed. They don't need to be. Or people in their 40s get fixed. You don't need to be. You don't have to be handicapped by the past. Heaven is the limit of how much power and blessing. You live in the heavenlies. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. So we need to look back only for us to then reach forward to those things which are before and press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Well, you can see here, I don't have time. Eve made a choice. Consequences? Yeah, thanks, Eve. No. Adam actually made that choice. Lot's wife made a choice. Every time I go to the Dead Sea, I think of poor Mrs. Lot. You know, Mary made a choice. And what a good choice that was. And we honor today. And Mary, Martha's sister, made a choice. And God blessed her for it. So choices are in our hands. Isn't that exciting? We're not bound by yesterday. We got a new day of choices. Right now you can have that. So I just want to encourage you. So I think this study will be good. That's just foundational stuff, but we'll look forward to the next chapter.